Advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Starting a little rough this morning, this evening. Like I'm in the morning still. I've had a long day myself. You have landed in Juicebox Radio, if you can believe it or not, on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver with your beautiful hosts, Caroline McGillivray and Julia Saunders, myself.
The lovely Julia Saunders, that is.
So last week's show was about young people fucking and the reality of what goes on in many people's lives, including our very own. We had some very good tips, didn't we? Real life Juicebox top three tips for solving some of the sex issues that were depicted in this very hot and quite hilarious Canadian film. So go see it in theaters today, for sure. I think it's still out in theaters. Caroline, what's tonight's show about?
Tonight's show, we're going to be talking about Sex in the City versus reality, which should be a really, really wonderful, fun show, and we're pretty excited about that. I hope all of you have been out to go and see the movie. Myself, I've seen it four times. I dragged Julia for my fourth time and insisted she came with me to check it out. I mean, you know, let's face it, in the last, I don't know, how long has that show been on? We've been watching it forever.
Eight seasons, which means 8 years. It started in 1998.
I believe so, yeah.
So
I
just know. Eight years. It was 8 years.
Yeah, a girlfriend of mine was just telling me that her mother calls me Carrie, as in Sex and the City, which I thought was really cute.
Well, just don't call me Samantha. Anyway.
I wouldn't mind being Samantha once in a while. Seriously,
I think she's living in Malibu, where she lives, but anyway.
I wouldn't mind that either, but I do, seriously, there was an interview actually in the Georgia Strait with Kim Cattrall, and she was mentioning one of the things that she liked about Samantha, that her, that character that she played on the show, is the fact that that Samantha really, really, really liked sex. And after the whole AIDS scare in the early 80s, which you still have to practice safe sex and things like that, but she brought the joy back to sex in a lot of ways. And that was Kim Cattrall's personal, one of the reasons why she really liked that character. And it was really nice to come revisit her again in the film.
Yeah, well, she definitely has added to the sex positivity, I think, in North American culture. I mean, it is one of North America's favorite sitcoms, right? So
it is, and it's definitely enjoying box office hotness in mm-hmm. a big way. I mm-hmm. mean, I've seen it four times. You've seen it once, and I'm dragging you again and again if I can.
I'll see it again and see if I don't
with
cry.
Me?
I would love to see it with you. So I don't cry as much through it, so maybe I actually can pay attention a little bit more to the... What's going on? I was so emotional when I was watching that movie.
It's okay.
Anyway,
I cried
three times. It hits some nerves.
There's multiple issues, though, in that film. So it's understandable that it would hit some nerves. I think that's pretty common. And
yeah. And I think, you know what, if you're immersed in any kind of relationship problem in your life at this moment, I recommend you listen to tonight's show because we're going to be talking about sort of how to keep your love alive, how to have long-term relationships, successful sex, that kind of thing. And maybe we'll save you a trip to the therapist.
Unless you want to be there.
Unless you want to be there, of course.
Hot.
Nothing wrong with therapy. And we're going to be taking calls tonight, so do feel free to call in and contribute to the conversation at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR.
So, Julie, you found a little tidbit about the male perspective on Sex and the City. That was from Rolling Stone, wasn't it?
Peter Travers. He writes, some dudes say they'd rather light their dicks on fire than endure this movie's version of the ultimate in TV chick coms.
Ouch.
Snap out of it, guys. You might just learn something. If the film didn't go on for a punishing 2.5 hours, including 2 fashion shows, which were awesome, and countless designer name checks, I might call it must viewing for men who are clueless about the female psyche. Come on, what men aren't? Peter Travers writes, Carrie Bradshaw, funny, touching, and vital. She is a sex columnist turned author who's planning a wedding to the elusive Mr. Big. Her meltdown scene is risky, raw, and riveting. I agree, it was heart-wrenching. Samantha Jones purrs profanely as the near-nympho publicist now living in L.A. and playing local cougar to her TV star
loyal
client.
Loyal cougar.
Loyal, thank you, despite the Malibu stud next door. He was hot. That was all like soft porn going on. It was great. That made the movie the hottest was definitely the Malibu stud.
Oh,
that
the
was
Dante.
Fucking every new girl every morning, every night. Oh, my God, on the beach. It was so hot.
It was pretty beautiful.
Dante, yes. he was daunting. Miranda Hobbs is the lawyer who loves her child's father but can't forgive him for a one-night stand. We're going to be talking quite a bit about that tonight. And sweet Charlotte York, well-matched with her little Harry, her man, is desperate to carry a child and brings out the inner tiger to protect her friend during the movie. It was actually good. Charlotte was sweet. So this Travers writer says the movie is basically 5 TV episodes strung together. The movie script is more honest about aging than the series was. And Carrie's new assistant, Oscar winner Jennifer Hudson, adds a 20-something perspective for female characters who are now in their 40s, which the movie is the girls in the Sex and the City girls are in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And the contrast hits home. So beyond the shoes, the cosmopolitan drinks, and the disloyal men, Sex and the City has always been about the bond among women. At its best, the movie shows why that bond sticks. So tonight we're going to be discussing kind of major relationship themes and issues that are presented in the film. What did we deduce them down to, Caroline?
We broke them down to the big one, of course, is bed death and ensuing infidelity. And the big thing that we recommended was just not to take your partner for granted, just how important that is to really, really acknowledge them every day. And take a look at some sex tips, just keeping your love alive. The other thing that was really big is male's fear of commitment and the extreme heartbreak that it causes for women they love. But we also want to point out that a lot of women hear fear too. And think of Samantha. If you don't have the balls, girls, just grow some balls or just let your guy go. You know, to quote Julia's own words.
Sorry, I had to go get some earphones. I was like, I can't hear myself. Okay, thanks
for
saving
me. She really, really deserves to have the best. So if somebody does not, like say there's one partner who wants to get married, the other person doesn't believe in it, you know, you might want to discuss your definition of commitment. Are the labels the issue? Like, is the relationship good as is? Or is it about a lifetime where
like
there's
the
no variety,
variety
no
yeah.
freedom, no nothing? So really thinking about what does that mean? And I think that's really, really important. That's one of the things we're going to be discussing.
Well, I think, just to sort of break off for a second on the commitment thing, I think, Sex and the City talks a lot about male's fear of commitment, but I think you mentioned Samantha too. She's doesn't want anything to do with it. And people have a real issue, and I think it has a lot to do with just their fear of losing their freedom. And again, like Caroline was saying, it's like, do discuss it. Like, where are the boundaries of your relationship? Where can you still have freedom? You know, making sure your relationship is healthy is critical, because those fears of commitment sometimes are quite irrational, and or they have to do with the fact that you are actually looking for the bigger, better deal, as one of my good friends calls it, the BBD. So if you're actually waiting for the BBD, you may not want to commit because of that reason, but you don't want to tell your current partner because then you're going to lose them, and maybe the BBD isn't actually around the corner, but you maybe just haven't met them yet. And there's a lot of reasons that people end up not committing, and it's actually not very honest reasons. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with the fact that they just, you know, had bad parenting and are worried or thinking that they're not going to have any freedom or whatever. But the actually, it's really more about the person that they don't want to commit to. So that's why I'm saying, like, get some balls, girls, or, you know, let your man go, or guys that aren't committing because they're looking for the BBD. Be fair to your partner and let them move on in their lives as well. So.
And with the whole fear of commitment, too, I know I've already touched on in terms of what does it mean to be committed? What does that really, really mean, besides being in a mental insane asylum, which some people do view marriage as? But I think in reality, it's a matter of what is that? And I think sometimes it's one of the reasons why people who live together break up when they get married, because they think that all these little things that irritate them about their partner as living together, when they get married, they still believe in happily ever after. And that was one of the things I really liked about the movie, was it touched in about the happily ever after. You got to see Carrie with Big, where they'd been together for like about 5 years without breaking up. Right. You know, Miranda and Steve, where Brady had, you know, grown quite a bit, their little boy. You know, Samantha in a relationship for 5 years, she put it, you know, like, did we imagine that in the original series?
Samantha in a long-term committed relationship? Yeah. No.
And so
it, not at all.
So it comes back to that. It's just like, what it does it mean to be committed?
Right.
And for each couple, that's going to be a completely different thing. So it's really important to discuss that, what their views of commitment are. And so then that way you can compromise and come up with something that's a little bit healthier and happy for your own relationship, and see if you can live within those means. And if not, well, as Julia says, grow some balls and you walk.
Let the person free, for sure. And before we go into the Bridezilla thing, just to talk about with Sex and the City, there was a big part of a theme throughout was sort of losing yourself in the relationship, in a long-term relationship. And we're going to talk about that as well tonight, and I'll talk about, like I was saying, how to keep your relationship and love alive.
And happy.
And happy, and have that kind of energetic polarity and dynamic continuing through the years. So, and then there's, I guess, in Sex and the City, you brought this up around the Bridezilla thing.
Well, Bridezilla, I think all of us have heard that expression before, you know, taken from the whole Godzilla thing, where the sweet, wonderful woman that you want to marry all of a sudden turns into this obsession about the marriage, where...
About the wedding, you mean.
About the wedding, and as opposed to the marriage. Thank you, John. And in regards to that, and I'm going to steal this from Confessions of a Shopaholic, that series by Sophia Kinsella, but the main character in that actually has a questionnaire about the wedding, and it's like, what are you looking most forward to about getting married? Your shoes, the dress, the cake, or the lifelong commitment? And if you're going to answer D, hopefully it should be lifelong commitment. If it's like because you want to wear the nice shoes or the dress, or as Carrie said, the dress up the ante in the movie, you know, you should really rethink why you're getting married, because it's your partner's day too. It's not just about you.
It's about the marriage.
It is.
It's not about the wedding day.
It is.
And that's just a party that should be depicting to your friends and family how you care for each other and what your lives are going to look like coming together. And I think too many people let their family take over as well. And I have to say, like, I talked to a friend recently. I missed her going to her wedding in Toronto, but when I went out there and visited, she talked about how they just kept on adding people. And Sex and the City, same thing. It was like supposed to be 75 people or something, and it turned into 200 or whatever. And it was all about business and about bringing families together. And you really have to put your foot down. I just want to say, I'm not a wedding planner, but, you know, it's another sign about the Bridezilla thing, and just like how the wedding becomes not about the couple, and really it should be. In this day and age, it's kind of beyond the old school, and we need to make the weddings a little bit more reasonable. I know a lot of people are pretty good at it, but letting your like parents basically like say, no, you have to invite auntie so and so, who you haven't talked to in 12 years, like, why, you know, you don't have no relationship with them, why do they need to be there? But
It's either that
politics.
Or you can plan a separate ceremony for you and your partner afterwards. Mm-hmm. For one can be one that if your parents are paying for it or the groom's parents are paying for it, then sure. Mm-hmm. They can plan what they want because technically it's not really your day if that's the case.
Yeah,
you
and
can
I
do
mean,
that. And you can have your separate day where you have your own reception afterwards.
Exactly.
We can honor. And my parents did that actually, where they had their thing and then they had their own thing on their own where it was the people they actually cared about and wanted to invite.
Intimate.
And it
friends
was
family.
Yeah, it was a nice cocktail party where I actually like the pictures.
Lots of ideas. We don't have to talk about weddings. It's not the wedding planner show, but it was a bit of a central theme in Sex and the City, so we wanted to bring that up. And it was a problem with Big and Carrie. It was a central issue in what happened with them, and that can get carried away. And I think if we want to sort of branch that out to a larger picture for people in relationships, just that sometimes we forget our partner. Like one person wears the pants, whether it's, you know, male, female, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. One person usually is the lead and the alpha in the relationship. And sometimes that person can just walk over the other person too often and not consider them first. And so really, I think a take-home message around this discussion is not to alienate your, you know, the person in your relationship who takes the lesser you know,
role.
Stand all the time and doesn't put up, you know, doesn't sort of easy going and lets whatever happen. Do consider them and think about what their thoughts are and how they feel about things in every day, as well as not just, you know, the general larger picture, but touch in with the quiet one. See how it's going. You know, what do they really need? How are they feeling? That kind of thing. What are they looking for that they're not getting? That kind of thing. So anyway, enough about the wedding planning.
Well, it's a big theme. And with a lot of people, a lot of listeners getting married at this time of year, I think it's important for people to put in perspective or people being in wedding parties just to kind of remind the brides and grooms just that it is their special day. It's to honor their love and commitment for each other and the fact that they're taking the next step forward in their life, the next chapter, and reminding that there is no such thing as happily ever after. It's always a work in progress. I remember a few years ago, I did an article interviewing a couple that had been married for 50 years, and I asked them, what's your secret to success? And they said it was hard work and persistence. So even though you have the roses and flowers and all that stuff, it's working. It's a work in progress, and you have to really work hard at it.
Yeah.
And it's important to keep that in mind, that
for
we don't forget that.
For sure.
And in that note, that takes us into the next about losing yourself to your partner in a long-term relationship.
Yeah. I think we start to be, I mean, you do have to compromise in a relationship. There's no doubt about that. But it's like, you know, and we do become a little bit more like the person you spend, you know, your primary amount of time with, you know, whether it's like your best friend or your partner, you end up starting taking on the characteristics or doing the activities that that person might be interested in. And you sort of, you know, there's only so much hours in the day, so you start to lose yourself a little bit, but which is, you know, a bit of a gray area. I think it's reasonable to sort of compromise and drop some things that aren't as important to you for the sake of spending more time together, doing what you like together. But if you start to just pretzel yourself up to be whatever you think they need you to be or want you to be, and you like start dropping your friends and dropping your interests and lose your individuality, I think that's an absolute recipe for disaster. And you become less of the person that person fell in love with, right? Like, critical that you maintain your sense of self, your individuality. And I think it's a big problem with young couples, especially. They just don't even know who they are without their partner. And so you become less and less of the person, of the people that you fell in love with. And I think that happened in the movie with Samantha and Smith, was happening there with Samantha for sure. And I think a little bit also with... was it with Miranda?
With Miranda and Steve, where she became obsessed with her work and stopped paying attention to the relationship because she was so tired between being a mother and with Brady, and as well as being a lawyer.
Workaholics. Smith is a workaholic too, you know, and I think their partners were feeling taken advantage of and taken for granted.
And definitely. And I know that's one of the topics we've discussed on some of our previous shows in terms of being a parent and not forgetting about the marriage, where right. it's very important to remember and respect your partner mm-hmm. and making sure that you're taking care of each other's needs. And it can be difficult when you're really, really tired. But yeah. it's important if you want to make that relationship work. It's that persistence.
I mean, you're a parent, but, you know, if you're a parent, you're a parent, but you're a lover first. And it's something that we tend to forget. And I can't tell you how many bed death issues that happen with relationships is because people have their kids sleeping with them till they're 7 years old and or whatever it is, or five, and just even 1 or 2 years old is ridiculous, I think. But, you know, just like they've become so focused and all their love and attention and affection is in that child that the relationship starts to fall apart and people start, you know, maybe cheating on each other or just lying or becoming a workaholic or just really that romance, that kind of
it
fire,
the
desire for each other starts to disappear. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's that piece in the movie where Miranda and Steve are having sex and she's just like, can't we just get it over with?
Yeah.
And he's like, wow, we haven't had sex in 6 months and all you want is to get it over with.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And
so of course he loses his erection and stops having sex with her and then he just goes into the bathroom and not too much longer in that story, he admits that he had a one-night stand because they weren't having sex and, you know, Miranda falls apart and basically is like, locks him completely out of her life, kicks him out of their apartment, starts filing for divorce and doesn't talk to him. Absolutely shuts all lines of communication
off.
And
she ends up moving back to New York and leaving him in Brooklyn. So their commute back and forth. So it's
yeah, really harsh. I think it was a very harsh response of Miranda. Cold and not necessarily one that I personally would recommend. I mean, in this case, the story that they had, like he, you know, it was a justifiable breach because they weren't having any kind of sex. He looked like he'd been trying for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then he slips once and it gets some sex attention from someone else. And not to say that I'm advocating for that, but if it happens, you know, totally ending the relationship and not discussing like the deeper issues that might have brought the infidelity on in the first place is really a good step to go through, not just like shutting everything down, right? I mean, really important that you discuss what happened. Why did it happen? You know, yeah, there's a breach in trust for sure, and that's huge, but
there's
is it worth
issues.
Ending 7 years over and like a, you know, 5-year-old child that they're parenting? And
I think it depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. For them, I think she needed, like, she had to acknowledge her anger, and it starts with that. And eventually, she's lucky that he was still willing to go to therapy by the time she decided that it was okay. In terms of wanting,
yeah, they
to
started
work
going
on things.
Therapy. Yeah, they spent some time, a huge time amount of time apart. I think 6 months or 9 months
yeah,
or something
six
before
months.
They went to therapy together finally, because I think Carrie was the one who told her that it was ridiculous that she ended things with Steve over this. And. And,
which leads into our another mm-hmm. issue, which was
the dishonesty and their disloyalty between friends. There was quite a bit of that sort of woven throughout.
Even before Steve announced his infidelity, actually, it came up when Miranda asked how often everybody had sex when the girls were sitting around the coffee table. And
the Cosmo table, you mean?
The Cosmo table, yes. As they were coloring.
Yes, they were coloring. Yes, there's a young child, Charlotte's adopted daughter was
Lily.
Was there, and so they decided to describe it. Was quite a funny first scene. One of the first scenes was around we could describe it as coloring, and so, you know, like,
how often do you color?
Because she's repeating everything. It's like sex, you know, which is really cute actually. Anyway, so yeah, she's like, how often do you color? And, you know, Samantha's like, I color as often as I can every day, you know,
and
twice
I try and
a day
put every crayon in my box.
yeah so it was pretty cute. Anyway, but what was their dishonesty around? Carrie
about
wouldn't
that
admit
is
it.
Not one of the women actually called her on it at the time. Like, they just sat there and listened. You could see it on their faces that, wow, you know, then they felt sorry for Steve about the fact that they hadn't had
They'd
sex
been six
in 6 months,
months. Yeah.
But they didn't say anything to her about it. Mm. They just sat there and they kind of made faces, but it wasn't really, really brought up that maybe you should actually take some time and
yeah.
take care of your partner.
Yeah.
They didn't say anything then.
And there was an issue around.
And later on, she finally did bring it up. But Carrie said it after she was angry at Miranda for withholding other information.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. It came out in anger. And who knows whether or not Carrie would have said anything if that issue hadn't come up in terms with her and Big.
Well, yeah, because Miranda said to Big the night before they got married that, you know, why are you two getting married? It's like such a stupid thing to do. You're crazy to get married because she's so angry about her divorce that was happening. And then, you know, Big freaked out and didn't end up leaving Carrie at the
altar.
Altar, and hopefully if you've not seen the movie, we're ruining it for you.
It's been out for a few weeks now, so hopefully people are fans like us and are listening to this.
It was a very dramatic scene around the leaving at the altar and Carrie just on the street with Big and horrible. But it was really a misunderstanding because little Lily stole Carrie's phone and had it hidden, and Big called her like 16 times before. He's like, I need you to talk to me, get me there, you know, help me get through this. Like, he was reaching out, and then, mm-hmm. you know, she just never knew, and so then she cut him off, and she acted like a crazy person and, like, just disappeared out of his life for
It came up like
too.
The whole Bridezilla thing, because what she said to
him was... But then Miranda didn't admit it.
No, Miranda didn't admit it. Yeah. But going back to the Bridezilla thing, that was her thing, was you humiliated me. It wasn't, you know, even though she was totally broken hard and stuff, first thing out of the mouth was, you humiliated me.
Mm-hmm. So around the dishonesty... disloyalty are with friends. I think it is hard, any relationship, friendship, love relationship, sex relationship, it is hard to be honest. That is like the hardest challenge that we are going to face in any relationship, long term, short term, whatever. But really, without it, there is no relationship. Without trust, without integrity, honesty, like, what do you have, really? So that's the main message, I think, of our kind of wrap-up about Sex and the City. But we want to talk about any, you know, real-life mm-hmm. sex tips. We want to talk about how to keep your love alive. We're going to do that in the second half of the show. I think we're kind of getting close to a break. Is there anything else you wanted to say about...
I did want to add one more thing mm-hmm. in terms of with honesty and disloyalty in terms of friends. I think part of that is really knowing your friends. There are some friends that I will talk to when I want a direct, honest, brutal response. There's mm-hmm. other friends I will talk to when I want to be coddled, and I may not be ready to hear the truth yet. It depends mm-hmm. where I'm at. And so I think part of that is knowing how to read your friend really well too, which there's part of me, I understand why Miranda waited a little bit before telling Carrie. She wanted to tell her immediately, but Charlotte
I would have told her immediately.
Charlotte talked her out of it though.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was really weird of Charlotte. But anyway, yeah. Charlotte was very angry at Big and didn't like him to begin with, I don't think. Or maybe she always did.
She always liked him.
She always liked him. So
she was like, I defended you.
Anyway, we have some fabulous tips coming up for the second half of the show. Definitely stay tuned because it's going to be a hot discussion about what to do to keep your sex life and your love life burning, burning, burning in the box. stay tuned. You are listening to Juicebox Radio on CITR. That is at 101.9 FM on the dial, but you can always get us at CITR.ca live streaming audio. You can get us at juiceboxradio.com podcasts anytime, 24/7. So keep the dial locked. We welcome your calls as well during this time especially. So that's 604-822-2487, UBC CITR.
And
stay
we
tuned.
Will be right back.
Yo, I love my Sex in the City girl. She's my king, she's my skinny little pretty girl. When I'm in town, she's always down to roll with me, girl. I call her when I need some Sex in the City girl. You can find her by the bar, the meaning of cosmos. She's surrounded by the stars, impressive. With below no blinding song, and she's always on a roll when it comes to entourage. She calls me Indiana Jones cause I'm good with the wit. I call her Samantha Jones cause she's good with the and when I'm coming into town, she's always down to hit. And in the country I'm not much, but in New York I'm still the shit. She's my I love my Sex in the City girl. She's my cutie, she's my skinny little pretty girl. When I'm in town, she's always down to roll with me, girl. Sex in the City girl. She's my kiwi, she's my skinny little pretty girl. When I'm in town, she's always down to roll with me, girl. I call her when I need some Sex in the City girl. 93 minute grease is the best
show on TV, but when you ask him, he'll deny that he's got the DVD. But let's be real, there's hot women like in every single scene, and even episodes that suck with Carrie's body on the screen. And Kristen Davis, don't get me started on Kristen Davis, because me and Kristen Davis should be having each other's babies. Charlotte York was rude, but we all know that she's the greatest, and I'm trying to be famous so I can get with Kristen Davis. Yo, I love my sex in the city.
Hi, I'm Kristen, and I'm Sheila, a little single mom. Single Parenting on Campus, an AMS club, with the hope of drawing attention to the additional challenges single parenting students face on our campus. We want to create a space for single parenting students to find resources and support.
Our first meeting will be held on Tuesday, November 6th, from 11 to 12:30 at the Women and Gender Studies, WAGS building, right next to Brock Hall. We welcome all single parenting students and, of course, allies. And please remember that your children are always welcome.
Please help us spread the word by informing any single parenting students that you know about our group. We're also open to receiving anecdotes or stories from single parent students regarding their time spent at UBC.
Feel free to drop by our meeting on November 6th or send us an email at spoc.ubc@gmail.com. We really look forward to hearing or seeing you.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
That was a great podcast. A great promo or whatever
for
PSA,
something that should be definitely thrown out.
November is a bit old.
November is definitely very old or very early, depending on everything.
So, yeah, you are back in Juice Box Radio, and we're talking about reality versus Sex in the City, and we're going to be talking about real-life juice box tips on how to keep your love alive, and also about real-life sex tips for bed death to prevent that, how to keep your healthy sexual relationship happening. So before we get into that juiciness, are there any juice berries?
We do. We have the Downloading Luscious Vixens. So if you want to check out and find out who those lovely vixens are that are part of Luscious Dance, come to the Penthouse tomorrow night. The show starts at 6:30 sharp, so you better be there for 6 to get a decent seat. And you can check it out.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'll be emceeing part of the show. So Karen from Juice Box Radio will be there.
You're such a good little emceer. I love it.
I try. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty excited about the show. I think it should be quite, quite, quite lovely.
Are there any more that we can think of that are sex-related sexy times that we can talk about?
It depends in terms of what you call sex-related, because there is the Future Shapes event, which is going on at Celebrities, on which they've had them in New York, they've had them in L.A., England, all that stuff. And it's quite cool. Vernard is bringing them here. So it's a gender bender type of event
with all sorts of
PVC fashion from Nancy Black, all sorts of cool stuff. So you're supposed to dress as extreme as possible. It's all about fashion and sex. So that is this Sunday on the 29th, and that should be pretty, pretty fun. And you're giggling.
Sounds hot. No, I'm just trying to write you a note upside down.
You're writing me a note.
It's okay. So we're talking about preventing bed death.
Yes, which is better than bed bugs.
Lesbians are not the only ones that suffer from bed death. I know it kind of coined the term there, but we did talk about this a bit last week, but I found some little cool sex tips that I'd thought and created a long time ago and brought them back, and kind of we made them a little bit more sweet and sexy to give to our listeners this week. So, you know what? And you were saying earlier in the show, Caroline, sustaining a good, healthy relationship takes work. Well, definitely, like most things, sustaining a healthy sexual relationship takes work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, keeping sex in your relationship is critical. Otherwise, you just have a friendship, roommate, co-parenting situation where you're not actually romantically involved. And so I think, you know,
you might as well be dead.
Yeah. So really, well, you might as well not be together. If sex is important, and you know, it doesn't always have to be intercourse, or whatever heavy, hardcore session. It can have a lot of meanings. So over the next sort of 10 tips, I think we made up together, seven of them. Seven is a good number. I like that number. I'm trying to remember. Sorry, everybody. We say her a lot, but make it fit for your pronouns. I mean, honestly, speaking from her perspective, which is me. So keeping it sweet. And I think, you know, if you bicker all the time about the dishes, the dirty laundry, you're not going to be getting any. Like, you know, and as women, most of us are especially sensitive. So if you want to get your sweetie in the mood, you got to treat her sweetly and don't dig on her for little things. And same with the you know, guys. I mean, obviously, this is obviously goes both ways. But to remind each other, keep it sweet, you know, remind each other daily of the reasons that you love each other. I can come up with something new every day, or you can say the same things, whatever it is. Keep your relationship in that kind of sweet spot. Right? And that's going to help you get some sex happening, I think, especially mm-hmm. with women. It's like, we want you to be nice to us. So it's not just about getting in our pants, right?
Mm-hmm. Number two, make sex dates. If you want to keep your romance alive, you got to make romantic dates. If you want to keep the sex alive, you've got to make sex dates. So talk it over, put it in your calendar. It's no secret that passion dissipates over time. And if you haven't had sex in a while, waiting for it just to happen, well, it's not going to happen. I think all of us have experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
So set aside a Friday evening or a Sunday afternoon, turn off the cell phone and turn on each other. So whether you plan to spend half a day in bed or just jump each other for a quickie, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that you show up and you get it on. Plus, when you know it's going to happen, sometimes it's really exciting because you can build up anticipation, maybe mm-hmm. send little sexy texts throughout the week saying, hey, this is going to be cool. I can't mm-hmm. wait to do this to you. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to do that to you. And then make yourself abstain until the date, because then it'll build out hot, sexy passion, which makes it really, really fun.
Yeah. And actually, Esther Perel, we'll talk about her a little bit as well over the next few weeks, because I'm reading her book, Mating in Captivity, Unlocking Erotic Intelligence. Fabulous book. I highly recommend it. I saw her do a big talk at the conference I was at in Guelph recently, and riveting stuff. Love it.
But
she talks a lot about like how you need to keep sometimes your affection down. If you're like really, really physical and really, really affectionate all the time, and you snuggle all the time, and but you're not having sex, her prescription is to actually spend time not allowing yourself to touch and not allowed to sleep snuggling up and not be snuggling on the couch and not be like affectionate for a while, to build that tension back up where you're yearning for each other's touch. And so it's just sort of one of her prescriptions for bed death issues.
I think it depends on the relationship, but
of course,
interestingly,
it always does,
in
but...
one of Tanya Diamond's tantra teacher's workshops, there was a couple like that where the man used to give the woman 2-hour massages every day, would massage her feet before bed and really took care of her, but mm-hmm. she never wanted to, he'd run her baths, he totally took care.
Yeah, and she just didn't want to have sex with him because she had stopped eroticizing him. He was becoming her caretaker, and mm-hmm. Sometimes you can get too close, and that can be a problem. So depending
on that to your esthetician.
Yeah, buy her some massage therapy and some whatever, and yeah. Anyway, David Data talks about this as well, and I find a little bit of similarity between Data and Esther Perel's work, and I mentioned it, asked her in her plenary, but she kind of got defensive about David Data and his misogyny. And so, which I've talked about. Anyway, number three on the real life sex tips for keeping your sex hot is to bring fantasy into the bedroom. Now, everyone has a fantasy. So, and again, in Young People Fucking, we talked about this last week. They did talk about that, the couple that were having the bed death issue, mm-hmm. about like, you know, who do you think about when we're having sex and all this stuff. And it was a cute little conversation. It was really such a great movie. I highly recommend it.
We have to see it again, actually.
We should see it again. So everyone fantasizes. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, it depends on what you're fantasizing about. But really, do you secretly have a crush on a movie star or something? Did you always wish that you had sex in the airplane bathroom? And, you know, does the thought of getting it on with a UPS driver make your panties damp? I mean, what is your fantasy? I think fantasy is good and healthy. Fantasizing does not mean that you're not into your partner. So for partners that are very insecure about this kind of thing, you need to understand that it does not mean that they're not into you. It just means they're human, and humans have sexual interest in others other than their primary partner, and that's nothing wrong with that, okay? So if you and your lover have never role-played, for example, talk about what your secret desires are. I mean, if your partner is leery, let her take the lead. I mean, if the person's like, well, this role-playing thing doesn't really do it for me, blah, 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 try to get her or him to get those fantasies, you know, out of their minds, and so that you can kind of try to... Because role-playing can take on many forms. It doesn't mean you have to dress up in some outrageous costume and pretend to be the UPS driver and arrive with a big dildo packing in your pants. Like, I'm thinking of a specific example of some friends that did that. That was very elaborate role play. And I think maybe, you know, for some that can work. For others, it can just be that one of you is always a submissive and one of you always
is dominant.
And then maybe you want to switch that up. Maybe you want, you know, even if it might feel like a bit of an act for the person that's getting the switch and really wants that, it's really hot for them. And I'm sure their turn on is going to turn you on. Right? So play along. Just give it a shot.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Another thing you can do is try some sex toys. When you get tired of all the clothes in your closet, you go out and buy new ones, and the same is true for your sexual repertoire. The same old, may get her off time and time again, but it just gets kind of boring.
I have people complain about that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really about the same old?
Yep.
Okay. Interesting. Uh-huh. That sounds like that's a loaded comment, Julia.
Any lover of mine can attest, I'm sure.
Interesting. I personally like the same old, but I am with a little bit of variety.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other thing. But you can add some spice by adding a new sex toy. Vibrators come in all shapes and sizes, including rubber duckies. And there are sex toys for every
predilection, yes, every kind of person.
From anal plugs to breast clamps, G-spot stimulators, and cock rings with vibrating things for boys.
Yeah. Or just not even vibrators, different kinds of dills. I mean, you don't always have to use vibrators. And remember, a couple times a month is probably good with the vibrator. Don't use it too often.
Actually, I do have one more tip for that. Use cheap batteries. At The Art of Loving, actually, one of the clerks actually recommended it. And the reason why is
it's not so strong.
It makes it not as powerful, so it doesn't desensitize you as quickly and damage the nerves. It's actually a lot gentler on your body, so you could use it more often.
Good. Or just buy a toy that doesn't ramp up too much and try to keep yourself from ramping it to the max.
Either that or you keep your Duracell and Energizer batteries.
Or put some cloth between you and it is also helpful.
That's true. Or over the underwear, especially if you're playing little schoolgirl or something like that. It could be very interesting.
I think it's important. Change your wardrobe. Get a new sex toy. You know, same difference. But shopping for one together.
Mm.
Or you know, I guess maybe you can also do a surprise on one of your sex date nights. You can go out on, you know that next Friday night is going to be your sex date night. You go to the sex toy. And even if it's something simple like a, you know, one of those body dust things that tastes really good and with a little feather, you know, and just,
I like those.
Just kind of lick each other's body parts. I think someone told me recently that they love the flavors of those things, and I haven't tried them. So, but yeah, I hear that they kind of are tasty. And then it might be tasty to lick different parts of the body, right?
That could be quite.
So it doesn't have to be like a big, huge, penetrative, vibrating, freaking thing. It can be something kind of a little bit more sensuous. Okay, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No, I was just going to add one more side note to that, which is, guys, don't buy something twice as big as you are. And then try and have sex with her afterwards. You're going to stretch her out and desensitize her. And neither of you is going to have a good time. And if this is about, you know, just making your sex life better, well, make sure that you do make it better by not stretching the poor girl out where you're going to have to go and get some guy who has a bigger cock than you to take care of it.
Okay.
Or wait like 5 days for her to go back to basic size.
Okay.
And on that note.
And some Kegels. Okay, so, and there's also, you know.
Watching porn.
I, you know, there is really good porn out there. There's nothing like watching other people get it on to get you in the mood, honestly. But you don't have to get the horrible, derogatory, nasty porn. There's all kinds of porn out there. Check some stuff out. You'll probably get turned on, and you might learn a few new bedroom tricks. There's nothing wrong with learning some new tricks, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, Hartley's got some great videos on that end.
And you know what? If you're, say, if you're lesbians, you don't have to just watch lesbian porn. There's gay male sex and straight sex maybe might turn one of you on. Who knows? You know, so don't limit yourself. Right.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the number six?
Well, reading, yes, definitely, and learning. So just sex is like anything. You're going to learn always and get better at it the more you do. So read erotica for stimulation and inspiration, and better yet, read it aloud to each other. And Kim Cattrall's Sexual Intelligence is where Julia got that from, which I think is really cool.
Didn't you? Well, Kim Cattrall
referenced that.
That's her most recent book, isn't it?
Yeah,
I haven't read it. The one that I've done a whole show on was her around pleasuring women.
Oh, that's right.
With the red line drawings and the G spot and the
thing. I remember we did that show.
Yeah, it was way back. Women's pleasure
ago.
And so Kim Cattrall wrote that. I think it's a very good book, and I think it's just called It's Women's Pleasure? I can't remember.
That one I'm not 100% sure.
Sorry. When you said sexual intelligence, I thought that that's the book you were familiar with.
Oh, okay.
No. I just think that's reading erotica for inspiration is a good idea. Reading it aloud is hot, you know, especially because your partner's like, ooh, that's, you know, I like that. And that's where the fantasies can sort of start. The discussion of fantasies can come from that. And yeah. And you were saying the videos, like watching sex ed videos, getting some tips. Like there's vulva massage books out there and penis whatever massage books out there that are fabulous. And I mean, honestly, just open the book, put it in front of your partner's bits and work it. You know, just do it and communicate with them. You know, does that feel good? Does that feel good? And, you know, it might seem a little bit like put on, but it's going to turn both of you on. You're going to have a little bit of fun doing that. And as you have that communication and experience, then the next time you do the massage, erotic massage or whatever, you don't have to have conversation. You can just be like, hey, I remember this technique or whatever. Put a little cheat note up by the side of the bed. Okay, 8 strokes of that, and then I move it to this, you know?
There's something about that, about the tongue tornado in American Pie, isn't there?
I don't know.
I remember that scene. It was quite funny.
You have to practice. I mean, using your mouth, especially like if you're doing cunnilingus, you're going down on a woman, your tongue is, you know, it needs to be exercised. You can't sort of expect to be able to, like, just go at it forever. Like, you need to practice like any other kind of exercise. Muscles get sore and tight and chafing and whatever. So, you know, yeah. Like, don't expect to be a marathon or whatever.
I want to add one more piece.
What was that little beard like?
Okay. Sorry, I just had this visual of this guy just going in there and just like just ramming his tongue in every which way, but not in a good way, where it's just completely desensitized everything. But what I was going to say is, if you really want to tell your partner about something you'd like, or you've got a fantasy, reading erotica, it's even more special when you write it yourself. So you could write out the fantasy and put it together where it's like, this is what I'd like to do, put it together with some nice sexy pictures and give it to them as a gift for a special occasion or just because present. And it's like, honey, let's do this today. I want you to read this out loud and then do everything to them as they're reading it out loud, which could be really, really hot.
Sounds fun.
And very sexy. Which, on that note,
well,
be willing.
You know, this is the final of the real life sex tips from Caroline and I tonight. And honestly, more than anything else, keeping sex alive in a relationship is really dependent on both partners making a commitment to do so. So you both have to be willing to take a risk. You both have to be willing to tell your partner what your needs are and being open to hearing their desires, which may not be the same as your desires. So you might have to take turns. But really, it works. And so that's what Caroline and I, Juicebox Girls, we recommend. So we also have tips on how to keep love alive and maybe avoid the infidelity or help with desire disparity, which is a really common problem. I mean, some people might be having sex once a week or once a month, but it's not enough for the other partner. So there's this desire disparity and people having desire issues and erectile function issues and lubrication issues and just getting going issues. So a lot of times this has to do with the fact that your romantic life is not very healthy. Maybe you've stopped wooing each other. Like, maybe your passion has died, which is something that is quite common. So, again, we use the pronoun her throughout this, but put in what fits for your life. And basically, there's how many tips are there? There's quite a few. We'll have to go through them a little faster because we've got only a little while. I want to get them all in. To tell the person you're in relationship with that you love them. So if you don't tell them that you love them very much, do it more. And then be specific, or if you do it all the time, find different ways of letting them know that you care. You know, honey, you make me laugh, or you're the sexiest person I've ever met, or, you know, say something that you mean, if you really mean it in the moment, because they're going to know the difference, right? So that's really important for keeping your love alive.
Two, buy her flowers and do it today. Don't just wait for a special occasion. Just surprise her. And don't bring gifts or flowers just because you want to fuck, but because you actually want to appreciate each other. Otherwise, they start feeling like a prostitute, where every time you bring the flowers home, oh, great, he wants to get laid, he wants a blowjob, because I have to pay him for the flowers. So make sure it's not about that.
Or a guilt thing.
Totally.
It's like, what have you done, honey?
And the same goes for taking her out on a date, which is number 3.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of long-term couples don't go on dates anymore. They, especially if they live together, they have kids, they share their lives in every capacity, so they don't go out on dates. And I'm babysitting for some friends these days and forcing them out on dates, and they're having a great time. They're forced to be creative about going on dates because I am exchanging, you know, that for something else. So every other week they have to go on a date. They're like, okay, honey, we've got our date night, and it's working out well. I mean, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. You can go to like an art opening or a free concert in the park, and like what they're doing, you know, developing support networks that you can trade childcare. You don't, you know, if you're one of those people who doesn't have a lot of money, find other friends or family that you can trade childcare with, right?
Yep. So then that way you take care of their kids one day, they take care of yours, and it's good. And make dates for romance, not always for sex. If the love life is in a rut, just plan a night of intimacy. Turn off the TV, light some candles, put on some romantic music, send the kids to the babysitter, get a hotel room.
Yeah. And, you know, again, this doesn't have to be about having sex. It's about like connecting, you know, talking, massaging each other, whatever.
It's about tantra.
It's about being together. Exactly. And I think, you know, keeping your love alive is to tell each other, like, tell your woman that she's beautiful. Mm. Like, really mean it. Be creative. And, you know, let him know he's gorgeous, he's sexy, he's hot, you know. And if you're one of those people who always sort of focuses on one body part, like, you just love your partner's tits like crazy, you love your partner's ass and
his cock,
you know, or the cock, you know, try another body area, try talking about the what you appreciate about their body or their looks or something in other words, and, you know, other parts of the body.
Mm-hmm. When they come home from a long day of work, meet them at the door with a glass of wine and a hot drawn bath. Or just put down what you're doing and just spend a moment just connecting, hugging, kissing, and just saying hello. And that's Tanya Diamond teaches that in her workshops. And interestingly, was it Good Housekeepers from the 1950s?
Yeah, housewife tips.
Yeah, the housewife tips. Greet them with a tasty beverage and a sweet hello. And then you give them 5 or 10 minutes to decompress before launching into a discussion or issues at hand. And then interestingly, going full back to Sex and the City, Carrie used to need that when she moved in with Aiden. During the series, where she needed an hour before before talking to him.
Right.
Hey, hon, what's up? How was your day?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just think, you know, when we get home,
we need time.
I think we just need time to transition and just kind of greeting each other and acknowledging each other, I think is really important. My sister does that with her husband, and I think they have a very affectionate relationship. And it's like anytime either one of them comes home, there's like, hey, honey, and then they drop what they're doing, and they just say hi. Sometimes they hug, sometimes they kiss, sometimes they just look at each other and just say, hey, I'm welcome home, you know? And I think you make sure you do that for the rest of your lives together, your partnership. That's going to make a world of difference.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Physical contact on that end, which touching hands on the table, rubbing shoulders, spooning at the end of the night, and, you know, or ideas like things like sitting behind her when you're watching TV or spooning, rubbing each other's shoulders and back. Or,
you know, rubbing each other's feet, you know, girls, I know men can be big if you're in a relationship with men, and they can be hard to massage sometimes, but, you know, like his feet, you know, anyone's going to enjoy a foot massage, and that's loving. And remember, everything in moderation, because
definitely.
Esther Perel, you know, she speaks about mating in captivity and unlocking erotic intelligence. And a lot of times we are so affectionate that we lose that kind of polarity, that energy, because it's almost like baby and mother, you know, just constant breastfeeding and touch and everything kind of makes you like where you don't want to be touched anymore. Like you just want to be left alone. And sometimes, you know, depending on your relationship and what's going on with your potential love life dissipating a bit and romance life dissipating or sex life. And, you know, again, feel free to email, you know, myself or Caroline and describe what's going on for you and see if there's some way we can recommend what might be happening. Or buy Esther Perel's book. Maybe you'll find some interesting information in there about unlocking your erotic intelligence. So,
one of my favorites here is cook for each other.
Mm.
Or do it together. Make it a romantic dinner complete with candles, flowers, good music, a nice bottle of wine, something special. It doesn't have to be booze. And if you know your partner's stressed out, you can tell them that you want to cook something nice for them and then don't expect a lot of appreciation or attention for it. Just do it because you love them. And there is,
again, truth to the 50s, the 50s housewife tips. But, you know, you can do it if you're a man as well.
Yes, I was thinking of that, actually, flipping that to the millennium in terms of making a meal while for your wife who's been at home all day, like taking care of your kid, where that's 24/7 job, especially whichever parent's staying home with the child. And sometimes they need a real nice break. So, honey, go take a shower, go take a nap, brush your teeth. Because a lot of times when the baby's newborn, they don't have time for that right away.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice where they get to decompress and just chill.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next two tips are kind of
go together.
It's like have interests of your own. Very important because, you know, making time for each other, obviously very important, but have interests of your own because you fall for each other because you are intrigued or you're interested. So if you keep doing what you love, if you're a well-rounded person, you're always going to have things to talk about and share at the end of the day. I mean, if you're totally enmeshed with each other and like everything about your lives is like enmeshed except for perhaps work and, you know, work in different places, but basically the rest of your free time is spent together, you're going to start to become too close. And then again, that polarity isn't there. And also like the next tip is sort of about encouraging each other to follow your heart's desire. So does she have a hidden dream? You know, does he fantasize of being a famous painter? Buy him an easel. Has she always wanted to climb Mount Everest? Well, buy her books on Nepal or a new pair of hiking boots and encourage people to follow their hearts, even if it means it's scary. You know, does he want to return to school? Well, that's going to cost a lot of money and do a lot of upheaval in your lives, but help him apply for financial aid. Help, you know, show each other that, you know, you care about them following their dreams as well. And, you know, the happier a person is with themselves, the happier they're going to be with you. So definitely critical. You know, have your own interests, be an individual, but also encourage each other to follow each other's dreams, even though it might mean that they're leaving you for a couple of months to go travel or do whatever, right?
And at the same time, even though you want to give them space, you also want to find things that are common hobbies and interests, whether it's like attending church together or going and watch horror movies. Find something that you both really enjoy doing and make time to do it and do it as often as you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, spending time together. Common interests is really important. It's not about going to grocery shopping together. You know, like it's about going to do something fun, recreational, or like, you know, seeing a movie that you love and can talk about after and enjoy together. Really important. And again, it's not about like renting a movie and staying home. It's also about like going out and doing things and being in the world together and, you know, interacting in the world around you, not just like homebody constantly, you know, never stirring it up. So, yeah. And I think, you know, listening with your ears and your heart, I think we often keep our hearts very closed up and armored around us all the time. And again, the decompression time at home, coming home from work, we've got to kind of take some armor off. Because I think as we go about our day, you know, road rage, whatever it is, people irritate you, at work is hard, whatever. You need time to decompress to get some of that armor off so that your heart is more available to each other. Letting your partner know that you're paying attention. So if that takes time that you need to decompress, go have a bath, whatever, shower, whatever it makes, helps you to be more conscious with each other. You know, and having conversations like asking what is he or she would like to make the relationship better and being open to what your partner has to say. So like, you know, not having to have the talk, but like just asking, you know, do you have any ideas of how you'd like our relationship to be better? You know,
yeah.
I know so many people that just never ask their partner that. And they think it has to be a problem first before they have those kind of conversations. And that's not true at all. It's just like to be creative. You know, if you find yourself getting into any kind of rut, whether it's a few months in or a few years in or 10 years in, if you get yourself into a rut and you're starting to go, you know, this is not really fulfilling me, you know, way before that time, you should be asking your partner, what do you think would help make our relationship better?
Well, perhaps I like how you described it as a conversation. Instead of thinking of it as a talk, think of it as an ongoing conversation where you're constantly checking in, constantly saying how it is. If you're not sure how to begin that process, you can either get outside help from a life coach, a relationship coach, or what you can also do is take a look at some of Dr. Harville Hendrick's work. He's got some great exercises in there because sometimes it's not just a matter of listening with the heart, but it's also using your partner's language in terms of so they understand and recognize that they're being listened to and heard.
Exactly.
Because that's two different things. Other things you want to do is, in terms of listening and heard, follow your words and with actions. So did you promise to go with your partner to go visit their parents, or say you're going to take her out on Saturday night, return videos? Try and do it. Try and stay as true
Don't just
as
try.
Possible.
Do it. Like, if you say you're going to do something, do it. I think it's so important for trust to be built in a relationship if you can know that your partner is going to do what they say they're going to do. And it's the same thing with friendships, business partners, doesn't matter. It's like follow your words with actions or don't make promises. Like, don't say you're going to return the videos if you're not going to do it. Be conscious. Be responsible. You know, like, then your people in your life that love you can trust you and can trust you to lead them in your life. You know, David Data talks a lot about that, and I totally agreed with him on that one. I was like, absolutely, very important. Mean what you say and do what you say you're going to do. And otherwise, don't say you're going to do it. So, yeah, and that's really critical. And I think with the last few minutes here, we want to just say, give each other space when they need it. Like, people need space for different things, for different reasons. Don't take it personally.
And communicate.
Everybody needs personal space. So you have to sort of respect each other and not to take it personally. And communicate that, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So don't forget, you're going to need, just don't forget to put this in your safety kit or whatever you want to call it for your relationship.
Safe word?
Yeah, safe word. You're going to need a sense of humor, patience, compassion, a shoulder for them to cry on, and lots of love and friendship.
You didn't talk about validating the points people have. I like that. It's like when you communicate, listen with respect. You said pick effective times to communicate, like not after a man has ejaculated and he's crashed. So you just got to pick important parts to communicate. That was definitely important. And yes, definitely, to make a relationship work in the long term, sense of humor is very important. Compassion, patience, absolutely, lots of love. Good. Awesome. We did it. We did it under the hour. So much to cover.
Well, we hope we get to see you next week.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you'll be here, Caroline.
It
might
be,
just
actually.
Be me up by myself.
I may be educating somebody who's getting married and how to take care of her partner.
Oh, very good.
So, and that doesn't sound as sexy as it is, perhaps, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, we hope you enjoyed tonight's show on reality versus Sex and the City. We promise we won't do anything on Sex and the City for a while. I think we've had 4 shows called Sex and the City in the last little while, but they've been very different.
They have been.
Anyway, we hope you enjoyed tonight's production. And if you have recommendations for a show topic you'd like to hear or questions for anything to do with sexuality or relationships, please feel free to pick our brains. Caroline and I are experts in the field. So that's at juiceboxradio.com. Coming up, Hans von Kloss' Misery Hour. Marion's a very sexy man to be miserable with. We love listening to you on the way home.
Oh, and I love fantasizing about his shoes. He's got better shoes than I do. And that's saying something.
You've got an entire closet of shoes, girlfriend.
I've got 2 in closets.
Okay.
I can't even say that. Closet. Yes.
Hans von Kloss. So tune into Juicebox Radio every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock.
Cock.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.